somewhere in the bowels of the city that never sleeps.
Kevin McCullough, radio host with Salem Media,
is a man also not sleeping.
Syndicated radio talk show host Kevin McCullough.
And that guy would like a word with you.
Many of you know him from his votes for Damas.
Of course that Kevin show is going to be great. The only thing that could be greater, of course, would be that Donald show. But we don't have that, so we have that Kevin show.
Featuring the music of Dick Tunney and the Dream in Color Orchestra. Still to come, sketch comedy from the Babylon Bee as they go inside Biden's brain. She's an unsung hero, Helen Smallbone, and back in the spotlight for their fifth appearance. It's For King and Country. And now from Times Square, where it's secretly rumored that he is the one who began the new trend of bus stop surfing, here's the...
Dave, that is not right. You take
what?
No, you what take that back right now. There are daredevils getting cut in two by power wires.
Gross.
And getting beheaded by bridges. These nuts. They're up on top of buses trying to surf. I did not start. You apologize, man.
I'm sorry.
All right, enough of that silliness. It's time to get started on this week's assignment. Yes, we do.
Assignment Desk Weekend. I'm Kevin McCullough. Breaking news from the White House. A new official protocol has been put into place as it pertains to President Joe Biden's walking to and from Marine One on the lawn of the first residence. President Biden will now be flanked on both sides by aides and military members to prevent the White House press corps from being able to clearly see when the president has a stumble or begins to shuffle. If that fails, a backup plan may be resorted to, what is being referred to currently by the Secret Service as the Weekend at Bernie's protocol. President Joe Biden also made news when he mysteriously appeared on the Howard Stern show just this week, Friday, as a matter of fact. In a moment where he was clearly caught off guard and far removed from his actual handlers, Biden agreed to debate President Trump one-on-one, anytime. One Biden assistant was injured, face-palming her palm to forehead so badly it recorded more force than ever in human history. Following the Stern show, President Biden was then seen giving the sign of the cross at a local abortion rally, which pleased neither Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, nor the Jesus-hating baby killers in attendance. In tech news this week, ChatGPT is in very hot water. A brand new study is revealing that the AI platform is in deep trouble for what it is being told is inaccurate depictions, overwhelmingly depicting CEOs as male and secretaries as female. ChatGPT, which operates off of actual data points across the universe, is also incapable of apologizing for the supposed error. Assignment Desk Weekend has discovered, however, that according to the most recent numbers, men make up 92% of CEOs globally, and women make up 85% of secretaries. In happier news, Adam Schiff, the former California congressman and arguably humanity's worst human being, was robbed last night. That's all there is to the story. And finally, health experts are arguing that the long-held assumption that daily showers have distinct health benefits is being labeled as misguided, a finding that every 14-year-old on planet Earth, particularly boys, began cheering. Simon Desk Weekend was surprised to learn, however, the study's results, until we learned that the experts involved in putting this study together were all single, socially awkward men in their mid-40s who went into the study because they had a lot of free time on their hands and they reeked of BO and had zero social skills. First Simon Desk Weekend.
We also need Ukraine to make changes to fix the broken immigration system here.
Did we just say Ukraine?
Fix it! Somebody fix it quick!
I'm on it!
We also need Congress to make the changes to fix the broken immigration system here at home.
Oh, that was a close one, but I think we got away with it. Who wants an ice cream cone?
All right, all of you, shut up. Whose freaking fault was that just now? Who said Ukraine needs to fix the immigration system?
Sorry.
Dementia?
Huh.
How'd you get in here, buddy?
I don't know.
All right, get out right now.
Okay. All right. This way. Yeah. Oh, whoa, there we go. That's a good way, too. Hey, take my ice cream cone. You like my ice cream cone,
yeah.
Right?
I'm not be that guy again, but while we're all arguing about this, who's running the speech? We need to choose our words.
There is some movement, and I don't want to choose my words.
No, don't say choose my words out loud. That's just the part I say in here.
There's some movement. There's been a response from the...
From Hamas!
There's been a response from...
The opposition!
The opposition.
The opposition?
Why did you say the opposition?
It's just what I do.
I'm sorry. From Hamas.
Why does he keep glitching like this?
I'm sorry. Wasn't I supposed to unplug this?
Oh, dementia, how'd you get in here, buddy?
I was walking around and here I was.
Well, why don't we just go this way and we'll get you some Jell-O, okay? Doesn't that sound good? Jell-O!
The French president is Mitterrand.
Oh. I sat down and I said, America's back. And Mitterrand from Germany.
From France!
Said, you know... How long are you back for?
Macron is the president of France.
No, I'm pretty sure Macron is a cookie. As sure as I am that Mexico is on the border of Israel.
The president of Mexico, Sisi, did not want to open up the gate to allow humanitarian to get in.
No!
No!
What the bleep is going on around here?
What is going on around here? I don't know.
That's it. Listen up, fats. He's in charge now. We are incapable of giving a softball interview.
Okay.
We're not even mentally competent enough to stand trial for mishandling classified documents. We are an embarrassment. Someone else is going to have to take over as president.
But who? Who else is there?
It's very important, as you have heard from so many incredible leaders, for us at every moment in time, and certainly this one, to see the moment in time in which we exist and are present, and to be able to contextualize it, to understand where we exist in the history and in the moment as it relates not only to the past, but the future.
So I gotta tell you guys, she went back on the boat and she threw the necklace back in the water.
No way. Why don't I remember this?
I was bawling.
Hey, guys, he's getting off the helicopter. We gotta say something to the press.
Wait, where's Dementia?
He's in the bathroom.
My butt's been wiped.
No!
My butt's been wiped.
A man decides after 70 years that what he goes there for is to unlock the door. Miracles will happen as we speak. But we're never gonna survive unless we get a little crazy.
I'm never gonna survive unless we get a little
Ladies and gentlemen, my next guest, I'm very pleased to have, not because I am super familiar with her work personally, if you don't count the fact that she's given birth to three of the most influential contemporary Christian musicians in the modern era, but she's also had a wonderful ministry of her own, of which a book has come out of, and now a brand new movie that you've been hearing advertised on my broadcast called Unsung Hero. It is the story of David and Helen Smallbone and their family's transition from another continent to the U.S. many years ago. And please put your hands together now and welcome Helen Smallbone to That Kevin Show. Hello, Helen.
Hey, thank you for having me.
It's wonderful to have you. Thank you for being here. When I started in media 185 years ago, I started out in the world of contemporary Christian music. And so I was spinning songs, and there was this little bright voice that she sounded a little different when she spoke, but she had such a clear tone when she sang, named Rebecca St. James. And
that's it.
She took the world by storm and has just had a wonderful time of ministry and songwriting and everything since then. Mm-hmm. And I never knew until just recently, probably a couple of years ago, was when I found out that the very talented duo of For King and Country were in fact her brothers. And in fact, these are all your children, which is the story of the movie Unsung Hero. We'll get into that in a second. But what has it been like to watch these children? And I have three small ones, 14, 11, and 9. I see how God has wired them and kind of put different emphasis and strengths and stuff into their wiring. What was it like for you discovering that God had gifted your children in certain ways and encouraging them to flourish in those arenas?
I think being a parent and watching your children grow is just so rewarding and incredible, really. Like, it's just such a privilege to be able to journey with them and help raise them. Rebecca, we knew, well, it's sort of funny because she used to sing herself to sleep. Singing was one of her sort of therapies in a way. And we were in a very tiny house when we were first married and when we had Rebecca, and there were actually louver doors, so there was no sound barrier even between rooms. Mm. And I just remember her putting her down, and then for the next half an hour to an hour, she would just sing, and me thinking, Rebecca, just be quiet. You need to go to sleep. So, you know, that came from a very, very young age. Then got noticed by the Christian school that she was in, and she was working with a music teacher there and in the studio recording some songs that he had written. She got chosen to be a part of the school rock band. So she demonstrated her giftings at a very young age. I remember with Joel, he being fascinated. So the kids grew up around Christian music. Right. The first concert Rebecca attended was when she was 6 weeks old, and it was a Larry Norman concert in the Sydney Opera House.
Why does the devil have all the good music? But go ahead.
So they grew up around music and going to concerts, and it's just been in their DNA. And I remember when David actually brought Stryper to Australia, Joel, because they had really visual covers.
Yes.
And him listening to their music and sitting with his head down, studying their covers while he's listening to their music. So, you know, that just put, and he would have been a toddler, like he would have been three maybe at the outside at that point. And then for Luke, I used to keep a journal that would have the major things that I thought were important in their lives that I would like to remember, major stories, incidents, sayings, whatever. And it often got too much for me. So then I just started doing summaries, like a year summary. So when each child turned a new age, I would try and remember back to things that were important or who they were at that age. And so when I gave Luke his book when he turned 21 as a part of his maturing from what I deem as childhood to adulthood, I gave him the book and I looked back through it. And when he turned 4, he had told me that when he grew up, he wanted to be a drummer and to sing. Hmm. How bizarre. He was 4 years old.
And just so that I understand correctly, what's the age difference between Rebecca and the boys?
So let me think. Joel is the older of Luke and Joel. So he's 84. So there is 7 years difference.
So while she was actually really hitting stride, they were just coming into an awareness of what was happening.
Yeah.
Well, it's so interesting.
7 years and nine years. There's 9 years between Rebecca and Luke.
It's so interesting because as I have been appreciative of both of their talents in terms of musicians respectively, you can kind of see that kind of sense of what you were just talking about and how it kind of influenced Rebecca. Obviously, a big voice and has always used that voice in very dramatic and powerful ways. And and the For King and Country, what I've always loved about their work is the drama and the storytelling and the narrative that they build even into live performances sometimes for the award shows and other things. Here on That Kevin Show, my viewers and listeners know that we have a musical spotlight, new music spotlight, every single week. And over the last 3 years, For King and Country have had not one but 4 entries in the Song of the Week, and that we've been a big fan of what they do. Telling the story via the big screen, what was it that brought about Unsung Hero?
Well, we've told our story or elements of our story a lot over the years because it had a dramatic influence on us. We came to America from Australia in 1991. It was in failure that we came. We had nothing. And slowly we were living by faith and relying on God to provide for us and lead us. And Rebecca's career came out of that. And then the boys were her crew in the early days, and they came from sort of her beginnings. So it's been a huge adventure to see them all, developing in their own unique ways.
Well, you talk about it being a story that starts in failure. What were the circumstances as to why the U.S. versus Australia?
Well, Australia actually has a similar landmass to America, you know, just without a Canada joined in. And then we have about 10% of the population, and we are, like the Northeast, fairly post-Christian. So, you know, it's for David to survive in Christian music was very hard. He was a concert promoter. He had a record company. He managed artists. He really was doing the gamut of Christian music in Australia. He came to me in his late 30s and late 80s and said to me, I don't think if I can keep doing this for the rest of my life. It's just too hard. And then in about 89, he lost $250,000 on a tour, and he knew he wasn't going to trade out of that one. It was just too much. And so we sold our house. We knew this was going to make major life change. He had actually started working with Hills, who ended up becoming Hillsong. We were attending Hills CLC at that time. And then he suggested them recording their praise and worship music. He had actually done the first 2 albums. And then the church realized that it was going to be successful, or that they liked that sort of new thing, new development. And so they took it back in house.
Stick around for more of That Kevin. Next, That Kevin Show with Kevin McCullough.
And we're back from Times Square. Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. Helen Smallbone is my guest. And Helen, just before the break, you were telling us that you had basically had three doors slam shut on your family and say, that's not what's going to happen. So what did happen?
Well, after David got over the shock of all that, he then sat back and thought, we should still go to America. We've got the tickets. We should go. And I was encouraging that direction because I knew he couldn't do anything else but Christian music. And so he said, well, I can't come without a job. So he came to America. He went around, saw some different artists, and he did pick up another management job. And so we came to America in August 1991 with that job in hand. But David's reputation on losing that money on, I don't know, probably just even, he was deemed a bit of a failure and people didn't want to work with him, which is why Carmen pulled out. And so after 2 months, this particular artist also pulled out. Mm. So then it was another, we're here now. Like, so God used the tickets to get us here. He wanted us here. And then that door closed. We were, as you can imagine, pretty devastated. By then, God had shown us that we could work and get some income by doing menial tasks, by raking lawns, mowing lawns, babysitting, cleaning houses, and we were all doing that together. And that really became, a ground spur, like a training ground for us to be able to work together as a family, to accept each other's strengths and weaknesses, to give grace to each other. And then when Rebecca did get signed a couple of years later, when she was 15 in 1993, and then her album Rebecca St. James came out in 1994, we couldn't bear to be split apart and separated. So we actually then started to travel together with her, with the boys being her crew.
One of the things that I've noticed, and I've interviewed Rebecca a number of times over the years, but one of the things that I will tell you, as having someone who worked deeply in the business and still has a lot of people that I know, producers, artists, managers, et cetera, that there was a unique spirit of humility about Rebecca's presence and the way she would always deflect the praise and the glory of anything that she did well and give it back to her Heavenly Father, but also you as her family. And she would, I wondered what, at the time, what pain had brought such humility out of a person's spirit, because it is not something that we are born with. We are, as human beings, we are obnoxious little boogers. and so many times the Lord has to kind of soften the ground and get us into the place where he wants us. But I know that she's been used mightily because of that in many respectful ways. And I think it was that season of what you just described that probably as much as anything helped her understand what she was called to was quite special. And
she's also an oldest child of a large family. And I think that's also the training ground for stepping in and doing what you can when you need to, being responsible, being a carer. And I think that that gave her some of the gifts, I think, that you're talking about, though she did feel very overwhelmed. And the movie's been good for me, because when I viewed Rebecca in those days, I was viewing this very capable, could do anything, my right-hand girl, teenager. And then the movie shows me her vulnerability, that she was still really a child. And she kept saying, I feel so inadequate for this task that God has for me, which is why she would pray before everything she did. Prayer had become a huge reliant, because I think it was her needing to know that God is with me on this journey. He's giving me the strength for this journey, and whatever I do, I'm giving back to him. And I think that was a huge foundation of who she is. And she set then that standard in a way for the boys, even though they were younger, even though they've had different life experience, they grew up respecting their older sister and who she was, and they've accepted some of those traits in their lives as well.
Well, I was very moved by the fact that your story was being told in this way. And friends, I want you to go see it. Unsung Hero Unsung Hero.movie is where you can go and get more information all about the film, unsunghero.movie. And this is the second film project in a couple of years for Joel, because he was in the Journey to Bethlehem film last year and had a very powerful part in that story as well. So who knows, maybe there's more movies ahead for the Smallbone clan as well, but we will see where that goes.
Stick around for more of That Kevin next. That Kevin Show with Kevin McCullough.
Love my coffee in the That Kevin Show mug. We gave one away in the first hour. If you did not have a chance to win tonight, you could win next week. We're giving one away, a beautiful one of these away, every single week for the entire year. Just send us your email, thatkevinshow@gmail.com, thatkevinshow@gmail.com. Tell us you want to get mugged in the subject line, and then in the body of the email, you got to put your address so we can ship it, and then tell us if you want the white mug with the black logo or the black mug with the white logo. Both of them look great. I love both of them. I want to say thank you because we just a couple of weeks ago kicked off our brand new effort to try to help free and liberate as many captive slaves in northern Sudan as we possibly could. We've done this for the last number of years, and friends, your faithfulness and your help have gotten us to where we can now say that we have freed nearly 4,500 individual human beings from slavery because of our work together. And I'm just so super excited about that. But another great week. I wanted to tell you, we were at 42 slaves liberated last week with we just kicked off the campaign, and another 10 slaves were liberated this week because of your faithfulness and your efforts. That brings us to 52 of the 208 slaves that we are hoping to liberate this year. 52 of them are already spoken for, and you have helped us in that regard. So thank you so much. 888-342-1010 is the number, 888-342-1010. Now, if you're just listening for the first time and you're saying, Kevin, I've never heard this, what is this liberating slaves thing? We live in America. We don't even have slavery anymore. I know that. There's actually, you may not know this, but there's actually bad news on this front. There is more human slavery on planet Earth right now than there's ever been in human history. And unfortunately, there is some slavery taking place in the United States right now that we don't even think about. But there are sex slaves coming through the southern border. The cartels are trafficking children. They say that on any given day, there may be as many as 2,000 to 3,000 children chained to a basement somewhere in the nation's largest cities. These are all things that very much bother me and concern me and make me lose sleep at night. But a few years ago, I found a wonderful organization called Christian Solidarity International that is committed to ending slavery on this planet's surface. They are working currently in 18 countries. And the project we've been most closely associated with over the last number of years has been to help liberate the slaves that were taken as part of the spoils of war from the Sudan Civil War. They have been set free by those of us that have been able to liberate them, but there are still maybe 35 to 40,000. At their peak, there were about 185,000 in captivity in northern Sudan. Now there are about 30 to 35,000, and we are hoping that this year we can at least liberate another 200 or so of those. What does it cost? A lot of time and effort. We have retrievers that are going into the northern portions of Sudan, talking to the slave masters, negotiating the liberty of these slaves. And then when they come back to South Sudan, which some of them have not seen for 10 or 20 years, We are giving them everything they need to start their life brand new. A $250 gift tonight gives them what's called the bag of hope, and it is literally everything they need to start their life. Food, sleeping accoutrement, tarps and things to keep them protected from the weather, cooking utensils, gardening utensils, fishing utensils. And the best part of all of it is they get a little kid goat that it will grow into a fully mature mother goat. They can have more goats and start a micro enterprise for themselves and support themselves. But they also will have milk and cheese and other things that they need from the goat's production. And all of that, the bag of hope, the food, the kid goat, the utensils, all of it is included in the Bag of Hope gift for $250. My family and I have, by God's grace, tried to liberate one slave every month for the last 4 years. I'm asking you to liberate one slave tonight. 888-342-1010. One just like this.
It took me 15 days to walk the journey back to South Sudan. But that marked the passage for my life from the horrors of slavery to a future filled with hope. Taken when I was just a child, snatched away literally from my mother's arms, my dreams of happiness were shattered as my living nightmare began. And suddenly, I found myself a slave. My slave master stripped me of my Christian faith and even my name, and he stamped on me instead a Muslim name and identity, and the beginning of a life of endless work. My worst day in slavery is still a vivid memory. My master sent me for a very difficult job of fetching water. The jugs are very heavy, and the distance is very far. When I was on my last trip to the well for that day, a group of Arab men approached the well and began calling out to me. And then they raped me. My master refused to accept my story and even blamed me for what ended up happening. And he did so even though he had raped me so many times before that. Because I have no idea of my birthday or even hometown. When I arrived to South Sudan, I was very blessed to be able to join a community of 150 other former slaves. And as I am now pregnant with a child that was conceived from my abusers, it's my hope to be a loving and caring mother. I hold no remorse against this child, because I am so grateful. I wish to send thanks to God and thanks to those of you who cared about me and brought me safely home. And I would like to ask that you not stop until every captive is freed, fed, and healed. My name is Abouk Gorang. And because of your faithfulness, I was freed in November of 2023. And this is my story.
Serving it up with a no-drink minimum. It's that Kevin Show.
Once again, for King and Country and special guest Michael W. Smith.
The wind is moving, but I am standing still. A life of pages waiting to be filled. A heart that's hopeful, a head that's full of dreams. But this becoming, it's harder than it seems. Feels like I'm looking for a reason. Probe into the night to find my place in this world. My
looking for a reason, roaming through the night to find my place in this world, my place in this world. Not a lot to lean on, I need your light to help me find my place in this world, my place in this world. Looking for a reason, need your light to help me find my place in this world, my place in this world.
The combined talents of the Dove and Grammy Award winning Michael W. Smith and the Dove and Grammy Award winning For King and Country. And of course, Joel and Luke Smallbone, the For King and Country, are the featured artists in the new movie Unsung Hero, out this weekend. And expected to do quite well, actually, at the theaters. Thanks to Jay Hogan Gidley and also Helen Smallbone for joining us tonight. Kevin McCullough, always glad to have you with us, and hope that you'll join us each weekend for That Kevin Show.